You're listening to SBS News.
In 2019, tourists were banned from climbing Uluru in the Northern Territory. It was a ban that the local traditional owners had long sought. Ranger Tajangu Thomas spoke to SBS News on the last day of climbing.
Elders who picked up this, I guess, long journey before I was born to close the climb, and now they're no longer here, but we're, you know, carrying on their legacy. A lot of happiness knowing that the climb will be closed and respect is going to be given to Anangu's wishes.
A happy ending for the Anangu people, but frequently it doesn't finish that way. Elders from the Puutu, Kunti, Kurrama and Pinakura people in the West Australia Pilbara region told a documentary crew that access to their land and their ability to protect it had slowly been compromised over the years.
Back in the 80s, you can get around in places.
Yeah, it was just about...
You can go right through, not like it did. Now you finish, you can't even get through. Just boiled back down to the pastoralists and the mining side of it. They took all the country on the people.
That access has tightened as mining companies and other interests claim the land for commercial purposes. But too often that means places aren't protected and sacred sites end up being destroyed. Like in the case of two ancient rock shelters in Juukan Gorge in Western Australia, ruined by Rio Tinto in 2020 for an extension of their iron ore mine. The destruction led to a furor and a parliamentary inquiry which highlighted gaping holes in the legal protection these sites may have. Liberal MP Warren Inch was the committee chair of that inquiry, and what they found was not good news.
Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across the nation reported to the committee their perspectives on the inadequacy of cultural heritage legislation. It became apparent to the committee that the legislation designed to protect cultural heritage has, in many, many cases, directly contributed to the damage and destruction.
At its most basic level, what this means is all that's required to destroy or harm an Indigenous site is the right paperwork. Protection of cultural heritage is largely the responsibility of state and territory governments, and there's been little progress in the past couple of decades to improve the state of play. Until now. In the wake of the Rio Tinto furor, legislation has been introduced in Western Australia, which traditional owner and spokesperson for the Department of Planning and Heritage, Glenn Evans, says will mean Indigenous people get more of a say in what happens to sites.
That means deciding what the heritage is, how important it is, and how it should be protected. Aboriginal people will be at the centre of the new system. Land users will be required to consult, negotiate and enter agreements with the right people to speak for that country. There can be no coercion, no contracting out, and no gag orders.
There's also a push for a similar change in New South Wales. New South Wales Independent MP Fred Nile has introduced a private members' bill to Parliament inspired by the events in Western Australia.
I have listened to the Aboriginal community for over 40 years. And they want self-determination. The Culture is Identity Bill provides custodianship of the Aboriginal cultural heritage to the Aboriginal community rather than Macquarie Street politicians and their departments.
The bill has been the subject of an inquiry with an upper house committee for the past couple of months. Committee Chair Sue Higginson.
In short, it's about providing a new framework for recognising, protecting and conserving Aboriginal cultural heritage and its importance to Aboriginal people. One of the ways it would do this is through the creation of an Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Council.
Gomeroi traditional custodian from Narrabri, Cara Kinchella, has told the inquiry the council may provide a solution to issues around who is authorised to speak for the local Indigenous people.
Right now our people don't feel like we know exactly who's managing our cultural heritage in general. So if we have that, I think it'll comfort a lot of our people on country knowing that our artefacts and our sites are being processed properly and being documented properly, and that's not being done by, just one organisation in one town.
The committee has now prepared a report so members of Parliament can consider their positions before taking a vote. Ms Higginson says that vote needs to happen soon.
The New South Wales Parliament will meet for the last time in mid-November before the state election in early 2023. There will no doubt be different views on the bill. Some may support it, others may oppose it. Some people may be somewhere in the middle.
It's far from clear if the private members' bill will find all the support it needs to pass. The New South Wales government says it's also working on separate cultural heritage reforms with the Department of Aboriginal Affairs, and that may end up taking precedence. Shane Hamilton from the department says it's clear Indigenous peoples are frustrated by being kept out of decisions about what happens to places important to them.
Even now, we're not at the front end, we're the last thought rather than the first thought when it comes to development or changes that impact on Aboriginal cultural heritage.
But he cannot say if the government's bill will be an improvement on the current situation or when it will be brought forward. Deborah Grawke, SBS News.